is your aim in service? Why do you do the things that you do? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. In this age, there are many who think that service is merely a means to gain, and that anything that doesn't pay us directly should be abandoned. But service and care is the very heart of the calling that makes us children of God. We do not seek to lift ourselves up, but rather we seek to exalt Him. This week, Pastor Jim concludes his wonderful message on the Magnificat, the praise song of Mary. Let's return to Pastor Jim.
Psalm 71 and verse 19. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? For Psalm 89 verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. We see her praising God in this way. And she knows the history of Israel. She knows what God has done in her. And it's pouring out. It can't help but be poured out. Remember what Mary said after Gabriel had told her what was going to happen? You know immediately, we said this last week, that she had to be thinking of the consequences at the same time of this being true. And there was consequences, wasn't there? Let me tell you, following Christ, there are consequences. Period. But the consequences are far outweighed by the benefit. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Forget not His benefit. You see, it's outweighed. The consequences you and I face are outweighed by the benefits, by the blessing of God. And Mary, at 12 to 14 years old, saw that as well. And what did she say to Gabriel? Let it be to me as you have said. Let it be to me as you have said. Folks, are you willing to say that to God? Lord, I will serve you where and how you want. Let it be to me as you have said. Verse 49, for he who is mighty has done great things for me. He has done great things for me. Has he done great things for you? If you call yourself Christian, he has done the greatest thing for you, if that be true. He has done great things for you. For he who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name. Remember the picture in Isaiah chapter 6? One of my favorite parts of scripture, as Isaiah sees the throne of God, and God is high and lifted up, and flying around the throne are angels, right? Seraphims. And what are they saying? Remember? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. This chorus of holy, holy, holy. Whether they're calling it out, yelling it out, or whether they're singing it, it's all the same. Holy, holy, holy. Because God is holy. Now we seem to think the word holy means that he is better than anything else or anyone else. Well, that's true. But that's not really what it means. It means that he is different than anything else and anyone else. The scriptures tell us there is no God like him. And when the scriptures say that, it puts a small g on that God. Who can we compare to God? Scriptures tell us there is no one that we can compare to God. No one. No one. He is separate. He is holy. He is set apart. And he alone is God. And there is none other. But then he goes a step further and God says in scripture, because I am holy, he tells us to be what? Holy. We are to be set apart. We are to be different than the world. I'm sorry. But most people I know that call themselves Christian, I couldn't tell them from the world. Just because they talk a little about God, I tell you what, I've known a lot of heathens who talk a little about God. I've known a lot of people who have studied Scripture and have no use for the God of Scripture and have more knowledge than some of the people who call themselves Christian. We're to be holy, set apart, different. We should stand out in a crowd. We should stand out. God poured His grace into us, didn't He? If we are saved, He poured His grace into us. And if He poured His grace into us, how full did that cup of grace go? Halfway? All the way? Overflowing. Overflowing. If I'm filling up a cup at home and I run it overflowing, first thing I do is try to clean it up, right? If I want to keep my wife happy, that's what I do. I'll clean it up fast. We do the same thing with His grace that overflows in us. Instead of letting it overflow and run on to those around us, we quickly try to shut it off, cap it, clean it up, because they might not understand this overflowing grace. Friends, we need to be different. That's part of us being holy, because He is holy. We need to be different. That overflowing grace needs to be a love that is unconditional. You know, God knows who He has chosen. He knows the elect. You and I do not. We do not have the right to look down on. We do not have the right to judge anyone in any way except for to point them to Christ. If we see someone living in sin, we're not to condemn them. That's not the judgment we give. The judgment we give is, thus saith the Lord, come to Him and be cleansed. Because we are set apart. We see somebody in need, that grace should pour out of us. On Wednesday night, we watched a video from R.C. Sproul, and he was talking about the Good Samaritan. And he was talking about the point of the Good Samaritan was he helped the one in need where he was. He didn't ask him how he got into this situation. He didn't check out his sin. He didn't reject him because he was different. He loved him where he was. And that's what you and I are to do. People are different than you are. People are different than I am. But God's grace is sufficient for all of them. Again, this is how rich this praise is for Mary. Holy is His name. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is contrite and lowly of spirit." See the two coming together? Psalm 111, verse 9. He sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. Psalm 99, verse 3. Let them praise Your great and holy name. Awesome is He. Holy is He. We need to see the holiness of God and then realize that our call is to be holy as well. He is high and lifted up. He is set apart. And we can't forget that. And Mary did not forget that. Holy is His name, she says. And then verse 50. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. For those who fear Him. We learn in Proverbs about where wisdom comes from, right? The beginning of wisdom is what? The sixth grade education, right? The beginning of wisdom is fear of the Lord. You want to see and know why our times are so foolish? Do you see fear of the Lord? There is no fear of the Lord in their eyes. There is no fear of the Lord in their hearts. And friends, there are entire churches that have no fear of God. None. No fear of any kind. In fact, even within many of the Southern Baptist churches I have associated with, they'll tell you that fear of God is simply a reverence. Well, I think reverence is a part of that. But it is only a small part of that. If you do not fear Him who can destroy your soul for all eternity, you are a fool. He calls us to fear Him. And to those who fear Him, His mercy is given. I want to go back to a couple other scriptures for a moment here. Deuteronomy 5:10. But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Who keeps His commandments? Those who fear the Lord. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of the steadfast love of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. For I said, steadfast love will be built up forever in the heavens. You established your faithfulness. Psalm 103 and verse 17. The steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who, what's it say? Fear Him. And His righteousness to children's children. It's His righteousness that goes on those who fear Him. And I tell you, the reason that He is not feared is pride. Pride is an ugly, ugly enemy to God. The pride of man is an ugly enemy to God, and it causes us to turn away from the true and living God. Pride causes us to look for the pat on the back for ourselves, looking for somebody to notice who we are and what we do. You know, it's easy sometimes when you serve the public and you have things like we have here with the food pantry and the clothing room and all those things. And people come and they take. And there seems sometimes to be no thankfulness in it. And it's easy for us to say, oh, maybe we are not doing as we should. Our place is to love them, to give them grace and whatever we can to help them. It is God's place to open their eyes and theirs to see. But the reason we get upset, and trust me, I've been there too many times, is because of pride. Do you know how hard it is for us to do this? Do you know how much it costs us to, in time and effort and money to do these things? You're not thankful? Who am I looking at? I'm looking at me. I need to look at God. I need to humble myself before God. I need to show Him my humble spirit, because He knows my prideful heart. And I need to kill that prideful spirit within me. There in this verse 50, she says, from generation to generation. More than once in the last 20-something years, I've had some well-meaning Christian tell me, I don't think there's going to be any saved in this new generation. I've had him tell me, oh, the young people have no place for God. God has not missed a generation, folks. There is a remnant that He has called according to His purpose in every generation, from the very old to the very young. One of the things we have to watch out for in that is in our zeal to serve Him. Sometimes we go beyond what it is to serve Him. And we begin to look like Pharisees, requiring things of people that He doesn't require of them. And that is not our place either, is it? Our place is to point people to Christ with grace and love. And every generation, He will raise up those of His elect in that generation. One of the most beautiful things to know and understand about God in election is that there is nobody in history that died without Him that He wanted saved. If He called them with the effectual call, they were saved. Period. Period. I was watching a video. In fact, it's on my Facebook page. I hesitated to put it up there, but it was showing the contrast between preachers who tell you that everybody goes to heaven, and those who say only those who believe go. And you might be surprised at some of the preachers on there who on video are saying that God's forgiveness is wide, and that there are one man in particular, his name's Billy something, he said that people will go to heaven that know Jesus Christ but don't know that they know Him. Now, how do you do that? How do you know Him and not know that you know Him? Is that possible? That's what that Billy, whatever, said. Folks, He has saved those He has called with the effectual call. Period. His elect his chosen ones, he will call them to him, and they will hear his voice, and they will know it is him, and he knows them, and they will follow from every generation. Verse 51 says, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. We're back to the proud again. In our pride, we deceive ourselves. We come up with things within our heart that are prideful and against his word. I've said before, especially like with this diabetes stuff and the eating, there is no one who can lie to me better than me. I can convince myself that it's okay to have this piece of wedding cake, since I did a couple weddings in the last few weeks. It's okay for me to have this wedding cake. My blood sugar is low enough. Now, if I was on insulin like some people, I would say, oh, I just give myself a little bit more. We don't know who we're talking about, do we? We convince ourselves of things that are not good for us because we want them. We lie to ourselves in our hearts because of our proud hearts. I'll tell you something your heart has told you before. And I don't care who you are. If you tell me your heart has never told you this, you're a liar. Your heart has told you, you deserve, and you fill in the blank. You deserve better. You deserve this. You deserve more. You deserve, your heart has told you, you deserve something because of who you are. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked. And it says here that in his strength of his arm, he has scattered the proud who think such things in their hearts. You know what happens when somebody comes in here? Well, I'll give an example. A few years back, a man came and talked to me. He had not visited our church yet. He went to another church, and he came and talked to me about coming to the church and becoming an elder. Well, it's not quite the way we do it. That's not how it's done. But he wanted to come to our church and immediately become an elder so that he had a position of authority. And when I said no, guess how many times he visited? Yeah, none. None. Folks, our proud hearts will be seen. God sees them already, but they will be revealed to those around us. And he will scatter them. Think about people you've met whose pride was greater than any love that they had for Christ. And they are no longer in a church anywhere. They find their own reasoning why they don't have to be. Their hearts have lied to him, and they've moved on. They've been scattered. Verse 52 says, he has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Mary keeps coming back to this. He's brought down the mighty from their thrones. I tell you, there are some preachers, some on TV, but they're in the radio, but there's some in just churches around different communities in this world. There are some preachers who are going to be dethroned. I went to a funeral service at a church one time, and sitting up on the platform or the stage was this great big throne-looking chair. You know what that chair was? That was the pastor chair. I mean, it was all red velvet, and I mean, it was this high up above, and it was a throne. Those who sit on thrones will be dethroned. Those who lift themselves up, who think that they are mighty and above the word of God, they will be torn down. And those who seem to have the world crushing them as they serve God will be lifted up, exalted. Those of humble estate. Are you humble or are you prideful? Mary's not done here. She's still praising God. In verse 53, he has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Those of you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. Isn't that what Jesus said? Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. But those who believe that they need nothing, that's the story of the man who tore down his barn and built a bigger barn because he had such a good crop. And then he sat back and he says, I have plenty for a long time. The Lord said, you fool, tonight your soul will be required of you. Or in other words, he put the emphasis in the wrong place. It wasn't bad that he had a good crop. In fact, where does the crop come from? It comes from God, doesn't it? It wasn't even bad that he built bigger barns to store it in. The problem was that he said to himself, I have no need that I haven't taken care of. That is the rich he's talking about. Those who count on their money, their crop, their things, and do not trust in God, they will be empty. Empty. Verse 54, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. God has continued to lift up Israel, even when they didn't deserve it, right? Even when they didn't deserve it. Let me rephrase that. Who does deserve it? Do you deserve it? Do I deserve it? Does Israel? No. But even when they turned away from him completely, and they turned to other gods, his mercy was still upon them. His grace was still upon them. His grace is still upon us. His grace and his mercy for what is and what does bring glory to him. But I have to ask, do we remember his mercy on us? Do you remember the condition that you were in before he saved you? Do you remember the destiny you had before you were saved? You had a destiny, and that destiny was hell. It was torment. It was punishment. It was fire. It was wailing and gnashing of teeth. That was the destiny. Do you remember him snatching you out of the teeth of that destiny? Do you remember the joy you had in knowing that he had done this? How do you remember? Do you show it? Or is it just taken for granted? The scripture teaches us, I am saved, I have been saved, I am being saved. It teaches us those three things. I am saved, I have been saved, and I am being saved. All three are one. All three are one. Do you remember what he has done for you? You know, I think of just the years in this building and the times when it felt as if there's no way we could go forward. The way we go forward is in Christ. In the toughest of times, he showed his hand, his might, his mercy, his love to us. And so when we come into difficult times, whether it be financial, whether it be those who sneak into the church and disrupt, whatever it might be, we need to remember his mercy, his grace. As he spoke it to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. He speaks it to us. Remember his benefits and praise him with all that you are. Praise him with all that you have. And if you can't praise him, please come see me. Let's pray. Let's pray together over your lack of ability to praise him, that he would save you. And that you would be filled with those praises in your mouth. Biggest problem I have sometimes in praising him is I can't get the words to express the greatness of my God. I stumble over words and I use the most grandest words I know, and they just fall short, it feels like sometimes. It feels like I call his majesty, but his majesty doesn't quite explain how great he is. We need to praise him, brothers and sisters. Praise him from the hills. Praise him from the valleys. Praise him. Please stand. My Father, Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. When I am not only not praising you, but I am turning to myself and my sin, I thank you that you remind me and draw me back. Oh Lord, to sing your praises is the greatest blessing in my heart that I could have. I ask, Father, that you allow me to sing those praises all the days of my life. And I pray that, Lord, for those who hear this, those my family here. Oh Father, may they praise you all the days of their life. May they have reason to praise you because of your grace. May they have recall to praise you because of your forgiveness. And may they live clothed in your salvation, robed in your righteousness. It is in the name of Christ Jesus I pray. Amen.
What a wonderful gift we've been given in the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for our forgiveness. It's so important for us to remember that the whole of our redemption is accomplished in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and in none other. There are no back doors and no other ways around this single provision. We must all see the person of Christ as the whole that our hearts desire. The God who sent him as the one who receives all of our praise, and the one who deserves even more. Let us never seek to take from him what is his alone, and let us never forget to praise and thank him for all that he has done. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. That number again is 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Once more, that's www.lightoftheWordRadio.com. Or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request, for a gift of any size, we will send you the book, On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History, by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar using stories from history and a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions. It brings lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. And until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you, and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. I want to remind you again about the Abolish Abortion Conference in Kansas. That's the 22 Abolish Abortion Conference. It'll be in Topeka, Kansas. That will be held on March the 14th from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. It'll be held at Community Church there in Topeka, and there is a number of speakers. Our goal is to put an end to abortion. We don't want to regulate it. We don't want to do incremental sections of trying to cut it off. We want to end abortion, and we feel that there are many of you who are with us. There are many around the country who would like to abolish abortion. And so we have this conference with some wonderful speakers. We have Dusty Devers. We have John Speed, Russell Hunter. We have Brett Baggett. We have Joseph Silk. We have C.R. Callig, all that will be there for this conference. The conference is $15 a person or $25 a family. That's as inexpensive as it gets. The following day, we will be over to the Capitol building for a rally at the Capitol building and hope that you'll come and join us for that. And then the opportunity to talk with some of our legislators about abolishing abortion. So go to aimks.org and register to join us at the rally and also for the conference. That's aimks.org. Until next time, Sola Deo Gloria.